Okay, so now let me talk about quadratic duality. For algebras and modules. So that's the prototype of the most basic version of the spectral correspondence, really, but in you know, phrased in a completely different language. Okay, so the setup here is you start with an algebra A, which is graded, not negatively. So it is a graded algebra. And just to avoid saying, to avoid dealing with exceptions all the time, I'll assume that A is connected. Just means that A0, these are complex algebras, algebras over the complex numbers. It's a unit of algebra, so I'm assuming that the unit is really one in the zeroth component. And I also assume that A is locally finite dimensional. Now, because this is a graded algebra, it has a natural augmentation. The augmentation ideal is just the sum of all positive components. And the particular type of algebras. Sorry? That's the augmentation ideal, yeah. It's an A. And the particular type of algebras for which the quadratic duality works are the quadratic algebras. So a definition, A is called quadratic if it's generated in degree 1 and has relations in degree 2. So explicitly, this means that if you take the free algebra generated by the degree one component, the tensor algebra, it will map to our graded algebra. So this is a map of graded algebras, canonical map. It works for any vector subspace, right? So we want this to be surjective. That's the meaning of the algebra being generated in degree one. And also you want the ideal in the tensor algebra that you need to model by in order to get A to be generated by its degree two component. So you want, if you take the kernel of the canonical map and intersect it with the degree two part of the tensor algebra, this is some vector space, this thing should generate this ideal as an ideal in the tensor algebra. Okay. So now, what does this mean? It means that this algebra which is some complicated algebraic construct, right? It has a grading, it has a product, the product satisfies, respects the grading. It's really described by a pair of vector spaces. It's really a linear algebra object. So if A is quadratic, then A is completely determined by two vector spaces. By a vector space V, which is just its degree one component, and by the vector space R, which is some subspace in A1 tensor A1. And because if I have this space, I can look at its tensor algebra, then I can look at the ideal generated by R, mod out by it, get the quadratic algebra. So it's determined by these two guys. So the notation will be that I'll write A in braces equals V, R. And this is just more than a notation. It's really an equivalence of categories. You can easily imagine how to write morphisms between graded quadratic algebras in terms of morphisms of pairs of vector spaces, and how to express modules in terms of pairs of vector spaces. Yeah, so maybe I should say what modules are. Or maybe before I say what modules are, let me just point out that the category, yeah, so the quadratic duality, which is what I wanted to say. So definition, the quadratic dual a shriek of a quadratic algebra A given by a pair of vector spaces V and R is just the quadratic algebra given by the dual pair of vector spaces. So given by V dual, and then you have to dualize the relations properly, and the way you dualize them is by just taking the orthogonal complement, right? The relations a priori live in A1, I mean in V tensor V, so in V dual tensor V dual, the only subspace that you can manufacture out of R is the orthogonal complement of R. So by the way, this is the only place where you really need your algebra to be locally finite dimensional. In fact, yeah, so this is the place where you need A1 to be finite dimensional, because you want to say that the dual of the tensor square is the tensor square of the dual. So if you don't do that, then you have to work, you can work with infinite dimensional, locally infinite dimensional algebras, but then you have to complete the tensor product in the definition. And sometimes it's useful, actually, especially when you start computing cohomology. Okay, so let's see. So that's the quadratic dual, and it's really a duality. So this Schrick operation, which goes from the category of quadratic algebras over C to the category of quadratic algebras over C, but with arrows reversed, this is a duality. So it's an equivalence of categories, and if you square it, you get the identity function. So the example, the two basic examples are, well, if you take A to be just the trivial algebra, has only the constants in degree zero and nothing else, then its quadratic dual is the free algebra, free tensor algebra. So maybe I should do it slightly more generally. doesn't really matter. So if you take V to be any vector space, I took a one-dimensional vector space, but you can take any vector space, finite dimensional, take A to be the algebra V is zero. So this means that this is the tensor algebra, no relations. Then its quadratic dual is the algebra C plus V dual and nothing else. So it's a nilpotent algebra with the degree zero component being the constants. I always require that, and then just one-dimensional piece. Okay, the more interesting example, the most useful example, in fact, is when you take V to be the vector any vector space, and you take A to be the symmetric algebra on V. So this is the same as taking V, and the relations are just wedge 2 of V, sitting in V tensor V. Then the quadratic dual is the exterior algebra on V dual. The relations are obviously simple. So this is the most basic, look. So this is the most basic example of quadratic duality, which exchanges symmetric and exterior algebras by dualizing the space. Now, it's a nice algebraic operation, but it's actually very useful because it also carries over to modules. So if M is a module over a quadratic algebra A, given by a pair of vector spaces V and R, then we say that M is quadratic if it's a graded module. So M is the sum of MI equal to zero. You don't have, I mean, you only need it to be bounded from below. It doesn't really have to start from zero, but I'll take it to start from zero always. Right, so you need it to be a graded module. And again, you want it to be generated in degree in degree zero with quadratic relations. So there exists, you want to have a vector space L which sits inside A1 tensor M0. So first of all, of course, you want your module to be generated by M0, and you want the relations to be in A1 M0. So you want to have a vector space here such that the module M is really A tensor M0, the free module generated by M0 over A, modulo L. So again, we have a notation for that. We used to have a notation for that. Well, you mean in here? Well, this is a subspace in here. L sits inside in A1 cross tensor M0. A, this thing is a free algebra over A, just multiplying on the left. And you just take the image of L under the A action. It's the same exact thing I did with the tensor algebra, but now I'm just taking a free module over A because I already have A. So you want this, and so if M is quadratic, again, it's given by a linear algebra data. So it's given by a pair of vector spaces, M0 and L. And there is a quadratic duality for modules. So the quadratic dual module M Schrick, this is with respect to A, because I'm viewing it as a module over A, is a module over the quadratic dual algebra, and it is defined, so I'm going to skip the A in the notation, it's defined in the obvious way. You just dualize M0 and take the perp of L. So you have A Schrick tensor M0 dual modulo A Schrick times L perp. So M Schrick is M0 dual L perp. He's asking if the data of a quadratic algebra together with a quadratic module over it is the same as having a quadratic algebra not over C, but over the dual numbers. Probably. Looks like it, but I have never thought about it. Yeah, for ordinary algebras and modules, it's true. The problem is that the dual numbers are also quadratic algebra, so I'm not quite sure how the quadratic duality will work. You may have to dualize the dual numbers as a quadratic algebra. Yeah, I haven't thought about it. Okay, so now this duality is again a functor. So it sends quadratic modules over A to the opposite category of quadratic modules over A Schrick. And again, the basic example is to see what happens with the free A module under that, or with the trivial A module. So, so the trivial A module, if I take its quadratic dual, we get the free A module, A Schrick module over A Schrick. And if I take the quadratic dual of A as a module over itself, maybe I should write here A, and this is A Schrick as an algebra, but view it as a module over itself, then this is C. C is the trivial module over A, a quadratic module over A. I can dualize it as a quadratic module. I'll get a module over the quadratic dual algebra A Schrick, and it is the free rank 1 module over the quadratic dual algebra. And conversely, if I start with the free rank 1 module over A and dualize it as a module, I get the trivial module over the dual algebra. Okay. Now, this is quadratic duality. It's very elementary, as you can see, and very concrete. Unfortunately, we can't really work only with it. We have to enhance it a little bit. And for this, we need the notion of a Kozul algebra. So
it's a special class of quadratic algebras, which unfortunately is hard to define, and I don't really want to define. But it's a homological condition. And I'll give you several essentially equivalent, some consequences of causality that we'll be using, and they're essentially equivalent to causality, but I really don't want to go into the technicalities of what causality means. So let me just say that, a definition, it's kind of a meaningless definition because it doesn't tell you much, but I'll give it anyway. What's the problem, Jacques? Oh, I see. Why is it bad? Maybe you're happy if your name is made. Okay, so a quadratic algebra A is called Kozul, if we have an isomorphism of graded algebras A Schrick equals the X algebra of A with A. What did I do? I did it wrong. The X algebra of the trivial module with itself. All right, so if you look at the quadratic modules, of course, each quadratic module gives you an algebra, which is just the X between that module with itself in the category of quadratic modules. And what you want is the algebra that you get for the trivial module to be the quadratic dual. Well, a priori, it isn't. It's just some graded algebra. But you wanted this graded algebra to be the quadratic dual algebra of A. That's the condition on A. Right? I mean, if you start with any graded algebra, you can look at the X algebra of the trivial module over that graded algebra, you get another graded algebra. In fact, so there is a subtlety here. This thing is actually bigraded. No. No, because I mean it's that's exactly the thing I wanted to avoid. You have to take a resolution. But you have to do that in the category of graded modules, and that's complicated because the category of graded modules is not really abelian, right? So you really have to say what. It is abelian, of course. It's not really. What am I saying? It doesn't have enough projectives. The category of graded modules doesn't have enough projectives, doesn't have enough injectives. So, in order to actually define X, you have to do something pretty nasty. Right. You have to basically replace your algebra with something humongous up to homotopy and look at the modules of that humongous thing. And there you have enough injectives. And there you can take a resolution. Yeah, it is needed in order to define that. That's why I don't want to define it. But. Yeah, how do you think about it? You'll see how I think about it. I'll say it in a moment. But the point is that if you take, so this algebra, I mean, you can imagine, you know, for example, the Holms from a module to itself over A, they're naturally bigraded, right? Because there is the grading in A, yeah. Okay, they're naturally bigraded. So the X algebra, there is the homological degree in the X algebra, and there is the grading, the internal grading for A. So these algebras are naturally bigraded. And when we say that this thing equals that, we actually mean that in the bigraded algebra, there is only a diagonal piece that survives. Everything that's off-diagonal, that has off-diagonal grading, is zero. And this actually turns out to be a condition for causality. So it just says that there are no x between the trivial moduli itself, which are off-diagonal, which do not, you know, send, which are not, you know, x from I to I. And oh, I'm sorry. I just confused things quickly. No, sorry. I confused things completely. This is stupid. These x are not the. That's why they're, you know, with. These x are just the Uneda x in the category of graded modules. So they're just defined by a purely categorical definition, right? You take graded modules and you look at sequences of them and you introduce a Uneda equivalence relation on those sequences. This is what those guys are. So these are Uneda x. You know, in any abelian category.
Huh?
On any abelian category, in any abelian category, you can define X groups without any reference to resolutions. What you can do is you take two objects, and you want to define, say, the kth X between those two objects. So you just take sequences, complexes in the abelian category, which start with the first object and end with the second, and have length kth plus 1. And then you need to introduce an equivalence relation between those. The equivalence relation essentially, it's... Yeah, I actually mean complexes, yeah. Right? So for example, you've seen that for x to 1, right? There is the usual interpretation of x to 1 as short exact sequences, right? So it's equivalence classes of short exact sequences where the equivalence is maps between short exact sequences, which are the identities at the end, and some isomorphism in the middle. Okay? Now you have to be careful how you generalize that to Wonk exact sequences. You have to basically generalize it by induction. I mean, probably the most economic way to say it is that you break the Wonk exact sequences into the short ones, and then you generate an equivalence relation from the equivalence relation on the short ones. And so if you do that, you end up with groups. I don't see any. Maybe Constantine. Yeah, I don't see a direct way to do it. Anybody? In terms of the nerve, it is related to the. Just parameterizes. Right. Modules of equivalence, right? And then you can just concatenate two of those, sure. And this gives you the product.
What's X zero?
Hmm?
What is X zero?
It's just home. There is no equivalence there. Yeah. So these are the Uneda X. They're bigraded, and you want it to be graded. So in particular, in this statement, it's hidden that the off-diagonal terms are zero. But also, so in fact, it's equivalent.
So A is causal if and only if, under the assumptions I have, it's not quite true in general, if and only if xij a cc is 0 for I not j. And also you have causality for modules. So M is quadratic module over A. M is causal if the dual module is just the x between M and C. The unit x between M and C. So you think about the unit x as a functor from modules to modules. So if you apply it from the trivial object to itself, you get an algebra, it should be the same algebra. If you apply it to a module, you should get the dual module. That's the causality problem. I comma j. It's bigraded, right? Because there is the homological degree for the x, and there is the internal grading of the algebra. Okay, so the statement that you really need to understand, I mean, or believe about causal algebras, is that the symmetric algebra or the tensor algebra are causal. Note, tensor algebra V is causal, and the symmetric algebra V is also causal. And of course, if a quadratic algebra is causal, the quadratic dual is causal. So, what? Okay. But I'm not going to use the more exciting example. Also, were you here when Greg asked about the nerve? So, okay, maybe you know. Greg was asking, so the unit x in the category of graded modules, can we extract them somehow from the nerve of the category of graded modules? Yeah, I don't know either. Okay, and one thing which is kind of remarkable is that, what? Uh-huh. Yeah, I know which one you mean. Yeah. Right. I use it actually. My shelf in my office tries to fall on my head, so I use it to keep the shelf down. Yeah, it's what 500 pages. So one thing that this causality is actually extremely useful for is the fact that, so the way I define quadratic duality for modules it or for algebras, it was really working for quadratic modules. But if you start with a quadratic algebra, it has many other modules that are not quadratic. You would like to say that if you have two quadratically dual algebras, the modules, all modules over those quadratically dual algebras are related, not just the quadratic ones. And this is where causality is actually helpful. So the remark is that if A and A' are quadratic dual algebras, then there is a functor which goes from the derived category of finitely generated modules over A to the derived category of finitely generated modules over A shriek. All modules now, not quadratic ones only. This functor is, you take a module M, yeah, everything is graded, yeah. I have this notation, which I never explained. When I write mod with a lowercase m, this means graded. If I write it with capital M, it means ungraded. But I'm never going to write anything about non-graded modules. Yeah, so these are graded modules over A, finitely generated, graded modules over A shriek, finitely generated. And the functor is sending M to the cobar of AM. Yeah, I'll explain. So here the it's not the standard notation actually, so that's why I need to explain it. The cobar of A is a differential graded algebra, which is associated to A, and it just so the way, you know, the cobar construction. The bar and the cobar constructions, they exchange algebras and coalgebras, right? The cobar construction starts with a coalgebra and produces an algebra. I'm writing it as a cobar of A because I'm just going to dualize A. So the cobar of A is defined as the tensor algebra of the augmentation ideal in A dual. How did I shift it? Hope this is the right shift. Okay. So as a graded algebra, it's just this the differential is uniquely determined which is, so it has to satisfy that its restriction to A plus dual is just the dual to the multiplication in the ideal. So the differential, when you restrict it to A plus dual, has to send you to A plus dual, tensor A plus dual. It should be just the dual to the multiplication. The cobar algebra is a differential graded algebra, which as a graded algebra is this. With the diagonal grading, and as a differential algebra, the differential is you have to define it. It has to satisfy the compatibility condition between product and differential. And I'm just defining it on the degree one piece, and I'm saying it's uniquely determined from that. You have to force it to be zero. It's part of the there is a unique way to extend this thing to a differential, to a, you know, degree one derivation, yeah,
And so that
the then it's clearly zero. It's not even because of the yeah, that's what I was guessing.
Yeah.
So another for people who were at Anton's lecture, this is Hochschild-Kirchhoff with values in the trivial model.
Right.
And you can understand the differential that way.
And the cobar of A and M is just defined to be the cobar of A tensor with M dual. With the differential that extends the action of A on M. So this is a differential graded module. And the claim is that, so this is just a fudged up version of Bernstein-Gelfand. So if A is finite dimensional, N Kuzul, then this functor is an equivalence. Also, if okay. Really? Fine. That's easy to fix. Okay, so right. So then this functor is equivalence plus it actually when you restrict it to quadratic modules, it restricts to the quadratic duality. So if M is quadratic. Okay. If M is quadratic, then cobar AM is quasi isomorphic to M3. Okay, but I'm actually not going to use that. I'm only going to deal with quadratic modules, but I just want to point out that causality is actually a very powerful thing. It allows you to extend this simple-minded duality to duality for all modules. Okay, now the problem is that so this is the quadratic duality is what we really want to use. I want to say that the spectral construction is a special case of the quadratic duality, but unfortunately it isn't. Because it's a special case of a generalization of the quadratic duality. So, yeah. So let me talk about filtered quadratic duality. So in order to really have this correspondence between Higgs bundles and spectral covers and to use that to deform everything, we really need the filter to one. So the previous version was the graded version of quadratic duality. Now we have to abandon the grading a little bit. So in its most general form, this thing is due to Leonid Pusicelski. And he wrote one very nice paper, which I actually forgot to give up the reference. You can find it it's published in Functional Analysis and its Applications. And also there is another very nice exposition on the part I'm going to talk about in a joint paper of Poliszczuk and Pusicelski.
which is called quadratic algebras. And you can find it on Polishchuk's webpage. Still unpublished, unfortunately. It's a very unfortunate. It's a very nice paper. It's a very unfortunate thing with this paper because when they were writing it, they were trying to prove the Poincaré-Birkhoff property for filtered quadratic algebras, and that's the purpose of the paper. So eventually, they proved it. It's a long paper in which they have a method for proving it by using filtered quadratic duality. But they were about to publish the paper, you know, make it public when Braverman and Gaitzgori actually found a different proof on three pages using the formation theory, which eventually got published. So they never, you know, so Polishchuk and Pusicelski never actually publicized their proof. But there are many other things in this paper which are extremely useful. Yeah, highly recommend you to look at it. Okay, so yeah, so an algebra A now will be filtered. So it's going to be equipped with a filtration. And I'm again going to assume that the zero step in the filtration is the field, and that the identity of the algebra sits here as S1. And again, I'm going to assume it's vocally finite dimensional, which in this case will just mean that the associated graded algebra is vocally finite dimensional. Okay, again, there is an obvious definition. A is called filtered quadratic if A is generated in degree 1 with relations in degree 2. And again, we need to say what that means explicitly. So I'll start with the step one piece in the filtration in A. I want this to generate my A as an algebra. Filtration degree, yeah. Filtration degree here. This is the only degree I have right now. Right, because the algebra is not augmented or split or anything.
Or graded.
Yeah. And I didn't say it, but you know it's clear what filtered algebra means, right? It means that fi times fj is contained in fi plus j. Okay, now the idea is we start with this vector space, but we want to look at this space not as a space, but as a filtered vector space, because it does contain the F0 piece in it. And in fact, we need a little bit more because of the unitality, so we really actually need to fix this vector in there, this element. So start with 1 sitting inside F1A. Just some vector in there, right? And now I'm going to construct, look at the tensor algebra. I'm going to denote it as 1 in F1. So it's going to be the reduced tensor algebra of this space reduced by this vector. So you look at the tensor algebra of F1A, modulo the relation, that 1 in the tensor algebra equals 1
equals that vector. Now, this is a filtered algebra. It has a filtration. Oh, because the tensor algebra, right? What's the tensor algebra? It's going to be C plus F1A plus F1A tensor square and higher order pieces. Now you have one. It's a vector here. Whereas one in the tensor algebra is in here. Yeah, so the tensor algebra is graded, but then you mold it out by this non-homogeneous relation, so it just becomes filtered. Quasi-homogeneous relation. So it's a filtered with a filtration. So I had a name for the filtration, which is T0. 1 in F1, sits in T sub 1, 1 in F2, in F1, and T sub 2, 1 in F1, and so on. And these guys are just the images of the graded pieces in the tensor algebra. So T sub I, 1 in F1, is by definition the image from the tensor algebra of F1A in power I. Sorry? The ith step in the filtration is the image of the ith graded piece in the tensor algebra. Sorry? It successfully because one. Remember, we shifted to the one step in the filtration, so it successfully produces. Yeah, I mean, it takes some time to sink in, but I'm gonna reiterate on that in a second. So let me just—I mean, I haven't given the definition yet, right? So now A is filtered quadratic. If the canonical map from the tensor algebra, this reduced tensor algebra 1A in F1A to A is surjective, and if its kernel is generated by elements in the second step of the filtration. So the kernel of canonical is generated by its intersection with T2, 1A, sitting in F1A. Let's call this space JA. So it's exactly the same definition, but now you have to do it with this reduced tensor algebra, and which is only filtered. And rather than having grading degree, you have a filtered degree. So I'll do examples in details. Yeah, so Clifford algebras and universal enveloping algebras are typical examples of these guys. Yeah, so again, these are described by linear algebra data.
So A is filtered quadratic. If it is given by,
well,
a finite dimensional vector space,
these are the generators. So this is done a walk of F1 of A. Fixed vector in W. And a subspace J in the second step of the reduced tensor algebra of E in W.
Why don't we write W as sum, as split it? Well,
because in a moment I'm going to do shifts of those, and you won't be able to split it. I will, but yeah, it's going to be part of my deformation data. Yeah, so the notation will be that, again, E, W, and J gives me the algebra. So it's a little bit more than what we had before, and the construction is slightly different because we have to model the tensor algebra by this inhomogeneous relation, but it's essentially the same complexity. It just takes a while to adjust to it. Yeah, so maybe one remark is a non-homogeneous quadratic algebra filtered. I mean, Pusiselski originally used non-homogeneous. But unfortunately, so in his paper, if you look, he calls those algebras non-homogeneous quadratic algebras. Unfortunately, later on, people took non-homogeneous quadratic algebras as a name for something else. So which Friede introduced, that's right. That's right. Right. That's right. Right. That's right. I should have said that. So this definition is actually contained in the original Priddy paper on quadratic algebras and causal duality. Yeah. That's going to be a non-homogeneous quadratic algebra in general. But I'm taking very special type of inhomogeneous quadratic relations. Because my relations, so my relations are built in two spaces, right, in two steps. First, I have this inhomogeneous relation, and then I have arbitrary inhomogeneous relations in the quotient. So if you just want to take the tensor algebra and model out by quadratic, by relations in degree 0, 1, and 2, that would be a general non-homogeneous quadratic algebra. These guys do not have any piece in degree 1. They only have a piece in degree 0 and a piece in degree 2. I'm going to come to that.
And then what you're writing is just a relation.
Yeah. I'm going to say that explicitly. So a non-homogeneous quadratic algebra, filtered quadratic algebra, then I can look at the associated ordinary quadratic algebra.
I can define, it's a terrible notation, but it's a standard notation, A with superscript 0 in parentheses, which is exactly what Ezra wanted. Take W modulo the span of E as the vector space,
So, and take J modulo T1 of E in W as the relations. So this is the V for the quadratic algebra, and this is the R. Okay. So if I start with a filtered quadratic algebra, I can destroy the inhomogeneity by just modding out by this element and get an actual quadratic algebra. So this is called the quadratic part. Or should be called the homogeneous part of X. Okay. Yeah. You will turn the universal enveloping into the algebra of polynomials. Yeah. So this is the quadratic part of A, and and it's also equal to the quadratic part of the associated graded algebra. So if you have any graded algebra, right, you can look at its quadratic piece. You can take the degree one component, you can take the degree two vector space of relations and look at the quadratic algebras those generate. So this is some algebra that maps to your graded algebra, which is the quadratic part. So if I do that to the associated graded of F, I get exactly, of A, I get exactly A0. So that's why it's called the quadratic part. But it's just this natural quadratic algebra associated to the filtered quadratic algebra. And so A is called Kozul if the graded algebra, if A0 is Kozul, this is the definition, and in that case, the graded algebra is actually quadratic, and it is A0. So, roughly speaking, a filtered quadratic algebra is Kozul if its associated graded is quadratic and Kozul. Well, roughly speaking, it's if and only if, and it's definitely if. Okay, so this probably bored you to death. Let's see. So what I want is I really want Kozul duality. I really want quadratic duality, right? For quadratic algebras, graded quadratic algebras, I had one graded quadratic algebra. I applied this duality transformation to it, got another graded quadratic algebra. So I would like to have the same thing for filtered quadratic algebras. I would like to start with a filtered quadratic algebra, apply a duality transformation, and get another one. The duality transformation, it's naturally to require that on the associated quadratic algebra is just the ordinary quadratic duality. So the real question now is there a duality on filtered quadratic algebras? Which lifts or specializes, I don't know, the duality on graded quadratic algebras. Okay, so you would like to say, start with A, form A0. Take the quadratic dual of A0. Can you find a dual algebra, a Schrick, so that its graded piece, its quadratic graded piece, is exactly a Schrick dual? Unfortunately, the answer is no. But there is the next best thing, Namely, it's it's actually unnatural to try to hope that, you know, it's unnatural to hope that the data of the filtration, right? I mean, because in the Kuzul case, we really started with the associated graded algebra, you may think that in the dual, we just have to recover the data of extensions between the associated graded pieces in order to find the dual. But the problem is that the quadratic duality actually transforms the data of the extensions in A to something different on the dual. It turns out to be a differential. So this is what Posizelski actually did. He noticed that.
What Priddy did.
No. I'm going to say it. So what Posizelski actually did, Priddy did it, but only for augmented filtered algebras. Okay? Posizelski did it in general, and we will need the general notion. Sorry?
You started with an algebra which had the...
I started with a filtered algebra.
Zero and the quadratic guy, and there's nothing in degree one, there's no differential. So naturally, when you dualize, you get differential.
Right. So you wanted to say if we start with filtered quadratic, with differential filtered algebras. Yeah. Yeah, if you take the full inhomogeneous quadratic, then the dual is inhomogeneous quadratic. That's right. So the upshot is that the quadratic dual of filtered quadratic algebra is going to be a curved differential graded algebra, the way Anton described it last week. So maybe I should write the definition. Yes. The curvature is exactly measuring the lack of augmentation. Okay. So a curved differential graded algebra B is a triple B DB. What did I call it? HB. Where B is a graded vector space or graded algebra. DB is a degree one derivation. And HB is a curvature, an element in B2. And you want this to be the defect of measuring how far is this from a differential. So the one. HB is in B2, and we should have DB squared of X equals the commutator with HB, and also we should have that HB is closed. Sorry? That's the graded commutator. Yeah, it's a graded commutator. It doesn't matter in this case because HB is degree two, but yeah. No. Just a condition. Okay. Yeah, so about. Yeah, if the algebra is commutative. Yeah. So a morphism of curved differential graded algebras B to C is F underlined is a pair how did I call this guy? Alpha where F is a map from B to C and alpha is an element in C1. And they're supposed to satisfy F of DBX equals DC of FX plus alpha of FX. And F of HB equals HC plus DC of alpha plus alpha squared. And of course, the typical example of a curve differential graded algebra is the algebra of sections in the endomorphisms of a vector bundle tensor forms with with connection. And then the curvature is the curvature, and the differential is just the covariant differentiation. Okay, so there is a notion of a curved DG module, as Anton used it last week. So CDG module over a curved differential graded algebra A is a pair, let's call it N, consisting N and a DN, where N is a module, graded module over B. DN is an odd derivation from N to N. And again, the defect from that is the multiplication by the curvature. From that being a differential is multiplication by the curvature. And if you have a curved differential, I think Anton said it last week, if you have a curved differential graded algebra with zero curvature, then it's just a differential graded algebra. And the curved differential graded modules are just differential graded modules. Yeah, so let me give two examples, the examples. Yeah. So if E is a vector bundle and NABLE is a connection on a manifold M, then B, which is global sections in the endomorphisms of E, tensor A dot M, with the Ramm differential and the curvature, is a CDGA. And N, which is global sections in the vector bundle times the forms times again the Ramm differential and the Ramm differential is a module over this CDGA. So this is the these are the typical examples. Right. Now, if A is filtered quadratic, then with a little bit of extra datum, if we adapt it with a little bit of extra datum, we can actually produce a curve differential graded algebra whose underlying graded algebra is the quadratic dual. So if A is filtered quadratic and if V is a subspace, so I'm doing now what Ezra wanted from the very start. So if V is a subspace in W, so A is given by a vector E in W and a space of relations. So if I now choose a vector space V in W, which is complementary to E. So V splits the natural map from W to W module, the span of E. Then, we can identify the quadratic, the graded quadratic part of our algebra with just V and R. Because V, remember, a priori I was taking this quotient, but now I have a subspace in W, which is isomorphic to that. Now, this is V and R. Yeah, I'm going to say what it is. So R is what it used to be. It's J modulo T1 of EW. But viewed as a subspace, viewed as a subset in V tensor V. And the point is that once we choose the splitting, once we choose the subspace V, the ith step in the filtration in this filtered reduced tensor algebra is just the sum of the tensor powers of V up to degree R. So the filtered reduced tensor algebra as an algebra is really the tensor algebra of V, but it's filtered, you know, taken as a filtered algebra. And now the choice of V actually allowed us to split the filtration on this filtered reduced tensor algebra. Okay. And now, so this one remark, the other remark is that J, which sits inside T2 of EW, which I can now identify with C plus V tensor V, is actually a graph, is the graph of a linear map from R to V tensor C. Well, a priori, it's a graph from a linear map from V tensor V plus C. C plus. So this sits inside V tensor. So I have this map. No. This is just the way the splitting is related to the relations. It's always. It's always like that. There is no causality so far. This is just for any filtered quadratic algebra. So if I have a filtered quadratic algebra for which I have chosen the splitting of W, I can write the vector space of degree 2 relations as a graph of a map. And no, it's not. It's not an extra condition. And this map satisfies a condition, psi 1, 2 minus psi 2, 3, of V tensor R. I'm not sure if that's useful, actually. R tensor V. It satisfies a non-trivial condition. It's contained in the graph of psi. And now the point is that, so this is just starting with a filtered quadratic algebra. You have, if you choose this splitting of E and W, then you have a psi which satisfies this condition. Now if B is the quadratic duo of A0, now, B2 is R duo, as one can check. And so phi and H duoize to phi duo, which is a map from B1 to B2, and H duo, which is a map from C to B2, which just means an element in B2. This I'm going to call HB, and this I'm going to call DB. And then one checks that this condition exactly means that, so this condition star is equivalent to B, DB, HB being curve differential graded algebra. Okay, so starting with any filtered quadratic algebra for which the first step of the filtration is split, we can produce a curve differential graded algebra whose associated graded algebra is the quadratic duo of the quadratic algebra associated to the original one. This depends on the choice of complement. Okay, so if you change the complement, you get an isomorphic curve differential graded algebra, but a different one. And I'm not going to spell the isomorphism. I wrote it in the notes if you want. But since I'm essentially out of time, I just want to write the outcome, because this is what I'm going to use next time in the geometric situation when I start looking at the Higgs bundles. So let me just say, maybe give a definition. A curve differential graded algebra B will be called almost split if it's equipped with a splitting of the first step of the filtration. With a V sitting inside W, which isomorphically projects to W mod E. Oh, I'm sorry, filtered. Filtered quadratic A. So it will, so A is just given by a vector E in W and a set of relations J. So a filtered quadratic A, which is equipped with the splitting of the first step of the filtration, will be called almost split. So this is the data that we really need to plug into the quadratic duality, right? We need the splitting. And then Posizelski's theorem. This is the analog of a connection for a Lie algebraoid. Why?
The scalars in an empty algebra.
Yeah, if right. If your degree one piece is an T algebra or something, this is going to be the analog of a connection. Yeah. Yeah, but we need to choose these splittings in order to run the duality. So the theorem of Posizelski is that the filtered quadratic duality functor that I just described so that's a functor from filtered quadratic algebras, which are almost split, to curved differential graded algebras over C. That's this functor that we just defined. This is an equivalence between the category of Kozul almost split filtered quadratic algebras and Kozul curved differential graded algebras. Kozul is some condition on the associated gradient, right? So it just forgets about all the data. It's an equivalence between Kozul filtered quadratic algebras, which are almost split, and Kozul CDG algebras, which are almost split. It just means that if you forget the differential and the curvature, the underlying graded algebra is Kozul. And it's same here. If you have an almost split filtered quadratic algebra, you take the associated graded, you want it to be Kozul. So this functor is an equivalence. And if you restrict to augmented filtered algebras, you get here just differential graded algebras, no curvature. Right? Augmentation is having an augmentation on a filtered algebra is actually stronger than having an almost. That would be Priddy's theorem, yeah. Right. So. Yeah. No, I agree. Right. So Priddy actually proved. Well, Posizelski does. They're Kozul. It's a statement only about Kozul guys. Oh, these are quadratic. Yeah. Thank you. No, it's not. Actually, Posizelski has several very tricky counterexamples. Yeah, it's really in fact, he has a conjecture that it's equivalent to being Kozul, which he proved. Well, he does it in arbitrary characteristics, so he proved it in characteristic zero. Even in characteristic zero, this is not. It's certainly not an equivalence here, but it is an equivalence here. And then you have the same statement for modules. Yeah, and I should say, right, in this setting, with the augmentation, it really appears in Friede's paper again. And it was rediscovered once before Pusicelski's work. So Carlos Simpson actually reproved the same statement, but with augmentation here rather than almost splitting. I know, but people didn't know about it. Means you don't know about it and you prove it. No. I mean, if you open Posicelski's paper, he starts with a quote of Priddy's and says, you know, this is the statement that we're trying to generalize. Okay. Sorry, it was very formal, but next time it will be more geometric. So, don't despair.